we all understand that today's meeting is a continuation of the work that we have received with as the two committees. And I want to believe that today is the climax. I hope it won't be an anti-climax. Today has to be a climax of all the efforts and the processes that have seen the process of complying with the Constitutional Court decision to ensure that by the end of March next year, there is a service provider legally procured to distribute social grants, which was a process in the hands of SASSA, with all the challenges and the issues that arose. So the roping in of the National Treasury, and of course calling in the political leadership, because as a country we could not afford the anxiety and the frustration out of a situation of no certainty about whether or not we'll be able to meet the obligations imposed on government by the Constitutional Court. In our last meeting, we were told by Comrade Minister Hadebe on behalf of the IMC that they are working on resolving the issues, and believed that by the end of last week's working day, the last working day of last week, they would have been able to tie down all that needs to be tied down to ensure that the nation has the confidence and the knowledge that everything is in order. And we agreed, comrades, that that being the case, therefore, the first working day of Parliament, which is today, must then be utilized to come and give feedback to Parliament on the details of what would have been agreed upon, so that as Parliament, we could next week go away satisfied in the knowledge that this issue has been laid to, you know, to bed, and we can focus on other things. So that's why I said, from where I'm seated, today is supposed to be a culmination, a climax, where we finally get resolution of these matters. Without much ado, comrades, I will hand over to the chairperson of the IMC, Comrade Jeff Hadebe, to then talk to us about those details that we agreed upon a week before last, in terms of what it is that they've done to bring resolution to this matter. Comrade Minister.
Thanks, Comrade Chair, the chairperson of SCOPA and the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development.
I needed to indicate that the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Comrade Gapa, is not around. I have been formally informed that she will not be able to join us today, so that there should be no hiccups. My apologies, Comrade Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson of SCOPA and members of the Portfolio Committee of SCOPA and Social Development, my cabinet colleagues, members of the IMC, DGs and CEOs, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. The structure of the Constitution for a Democratic South Africa is founded on the provisions of the three arms of the state, the judiciary, legislature and the executive. The matter before us had reached the point where all arms of the state have been involved and tried to resolve the impasse between SASSA and SAPO in the provision of social grants. The role of the IMC is clearly with Portugal authority to act in guiding, directing, and ensuring the implementation of the Constitutional Court order. This serves as our statement of commitment to the people of South Africa, and particularly the social grant recipients, that our government will continue to pay social grants. Government elected to resolve this impasse through the Interministerial Committee, which illustrated its political commitment at its meeting with this Joint Committee of SCOPA and this Portfolio Committee on the 8th of November. We believe that today demonstrates our commitment and dedication of the executive to take full responsibility for the implementation of the solution that finally resolves this impasse. As a background, the Constitutional Court on the 17th March 2017 ordered that SASSA and the Department of Social Development must find an alternative service provider to Cash Pay Master Services, CPS. The current contract with CPS, as we all know, for the payment of social grants was declared invalid by the Constitutional Court, bringing finality to a legal battle that began in 2012. The declaration of invalidity was suspended until the end of the contract to enable SASSA to insource the payment of grants. After the Black Sash matter in March 2017, the Concord further suspended the declaration of the invalidity of the CPS contract for another year to March 2018, when it became obvious that SASSA was not ready to pay out grants. This was to allow the Department of Social Development and SASSA to find a permanent solution to the payment of social grants to all beneficiaries. On the 7th of November 2017, the Constitutional Court issued directions to SASSA to ensure proper compliance with this order dated 17 March. It directed SASSA to provide information to the panel of experts within the required time frames or provide the panel, if unable to do so within 3 working days of the request. Provide appropriate and sufficient detail on process undertaken by SASSA to obtain services of service providers, including communication with the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer by 12 noon Friday, 17 November. Combine statistics and information of all mechanisms involved in the payment of social grants in one consolidated document to be provided to the panel on a monthly basis. Request the GCIS to develop and implement a focused communication plan to inform current and potential beneficiaries and recipients of social grants of the implications of the transition and benefits of receiving their social grants via bank accounts provided by commercial bank or financial institutions of their choice. Report to the court on affidavit each month as to the progress achieved in implementing a communications plan. And by Friday, 8 December, report to the court on affidavit as to SASSA's plan to effect the uninterrupted payment of social grants, specifying matters such as definite roles and responsibilities, precise timelines, dependencies, desired outcomes, and risk mitigation measures. After filing its plan, report to the court each month as to the progress achieved in implementing the plan, the steps taken to mitigate risk which could prevent the full execution of the plan, and any other matter. And by Friday, 8 December, to report to the court as to SASSA's constituency plan if a seamless transition on 1st April 2018 is not realizable, and provide the panel with appropriate and sufficient information on any steps taken to implement these directions. Honorable members, it was on the basis of these comprehensive directions that the IMC decided to align its work to that of the Constitutional Court reporting requirements, given the similar timeframes and expectations of the dedicated period between now and April 2018. The IMC Chair and the Chair of the Technical Committee met with the panel of experts on the 14th of November to outline our work and find convergence with respect to the approaches to this task. It was also a considered view that reporting requirements must coincide with the deadlines and deliverables of the Constitutional Court. In this way, SASSA will remain focused on the task of implementing rather the dual different reportings to different authorities, as will be shown on our project plan. As we indicated, the IMC was given the responsibility to ensure implementation of the court order in its entirety. On the 8th November, the IMC assured the joint sitting of SCOPA and the Portfolio Committee on Social Development of the establishment of a dedicated team. This dedicated team was established as the technical committee with a mandate to ensure the finalization of the agreement between SASSA and SAPO, as well as the development of an implementation plan and a communication strategy. The technical committee has confirmed the public sector-led hybrid model, which includes a partnership with Home Affairs, State Security Agency, and financial institutions. This hybrid approach will allow a set of public sector and private sector service providers by offering beneficiaries maximum choice, access, and convenience. Four focus areas were established by the technical committee, including the financial and ICT team, which met with the financial institutions on Friday, the 10th of November, to discuss their specific role. The legal team is led by the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, as well as the legal teams of SASSA and SAPO, to ensure the constitutionality and legal robustness of this process. A lot has been achieved in the 10 days towards finding a sustainable solution for the payment of social grants in the country. The commitment of the IMC to yourselves and our people was to conclude, amongst others, an agreement between SASSA and SAPO. This includes the implementation protocol, communication strategy, and implementation plan. The implementation protocol was concluded and signed between SASSA and SAPO and by myself on behalf of the IMC, and this happened last Friday. This implementation protocol is an overarching agreement in terms of our Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act of 2005. The collaboration between SASSA and SAPO is further enabled by Section 238B of the Constitution, Section 42B of the South African Social Security Act of 2004, which allows SASSA to do anything necessary for the realization of the agency's objects, and the National Integrated ICT White Paper Policy. This protocol allows SAPO to provide SASSA by the 1st of April 2018, subject to cost effectiveness of the following: the corporate control account, the holding account, a special disbursements accounts, card body production and distribution subject to price competitiveness, and onboarding of new beneficiaries, the instant account opening and card issuance at SASSA branches, and biometric authentication of beneficiaries. This protocol forms the foundation for the signing of a further detailed collaborative agreement between SASSA and SAPO, with the detailed project plan which will be submitted to the IMC by the 6th of December, and also to the panel of experts by the 8th of December 2017. The meeting with the financial institutions and the Banking Council of South Africa on the 10th of November agreed on the principle of establishing a special affordable account for SASSA beneficiaries and how to enhance their role in SASSA grants. The parties agreed to further meetings to discuss the details of the commercial accounts and the expansion of their joint activities. The implementation protocol is accompanied by an overarching implementation plan which identifies the various critical steps that are required to ensure payment of grants by the 1st of April 2018. This plan identifies the various stages, including finalizing all the necessary service agreements, agreement on the cost model and conclusion of the cost-benefit analysis of all options, issuance of the first batch new biometric-enabled card, develop software for card management system and the handover from the current service provider to the new service providers. What is important to note is that the IMC and the Constitutional Court reporting requirements, as I've indicated, have been aligned, and therefore the work program has now been synchronized. The IMC instructed the Government Communications and Information System, GCIS, to develop the communication strategy that will ensure beneficiaries are kept abreast with the process leading to the 1st of April 2018. This was further reinforced by the Constitutional Court directions of the 7th of November. A communication strategy has been developed to support this work. The strategy will ensure that our people, particularly the beneficiaries, are well informed and allay their fears about the payment of social grants from the 1st of April 2018. I can confirm that the communication strategy was developed by the 17th of November, which was last week Friday. This strategy seeks to put in place a communication plan that will constantly update the country, particularly the beneficiaries, of where the process is in finalizing the appointment of the service provider. The strategy also reassures all grant beneficiaries that government has no intention to cancel or frustrate its social security program. The multimedia communications approach will be utilized to ensure effective communication. This will include community radio stations, TV, print, social media, outdoor, amongst others. Further commitment has been made by provincial governments through the Social Development MINMEC to disseminate information through district, metro, and local municipalities to all our communities. This is to ensure that we communicate primarily with the main beneficiaries of social grants across the country, to reassure South Africans on our commitment to the implementation of the Constitutional Court order, to focus on recipients that have limited or no access to public information due to their remote or inaccessible locations. And critical at this point is a coordinated communication and reputable voice from government offering messages on the way forward to avoid a repeat of the anxiety about grant payments that were experienced around March 2017. Honorable members, as you can see, we are all well on course to finding permanent solution to this challenge. We understand the anxieties that the impasse over grants has caused, including the fears that the cards might expire and beneficiaries will not receive their grants. We can assure all SASSA beneficiaries across the country that no card will expire come end of this calendar year. According to the General Household Survey of 2016, the main source of income of many South Africans, social grants, which bring financial security to many South African families. It also contributes towards improving the standard of living of our people and providing a social safety net. Social grants have also changed the lives of over 17 million beneficiaries, whom SASSA pay without fail every month and will continue to do so. No person who qualifies to receive social grants will be excluded. Changing the service provider will not mean poor service. Our government remains deeply committed to providing South Africans with all the things in a dignified manner. Our government is committed also to providing all deserving beneficiaries their grants timelessly. Specific educational messages will also be developed and communicated directly to the benefit of social grant beneficiaries. SASSA has also facilitated the extension of its current payment card lifespan beyond the 31st of December 2017. This will not affect the beneficiaries that have opted to utilize commercial bank accounts. Government encourages beneficiaries to call SASSA call centers for assistance or inquiries. As a government, the protection of beneficiaries from unscrupulous deductions and exploitation of personal data remain our priority. the Department of Social Development and SASA have committed to implementing the court order, especially on the protection of beneficiary data and the issue of deductions. SASA will proceed to investigate all financial activities around the grants as directed by the court with the view to protecting beneficiaries. Going forward, SASA intends to enforce the Management of Social Assistance Regulation 26A, which provides for the deduction of funeral policies authorized by beneficiaries. Our social assistance program has contributed in breaking the cycle of poverty in our country. We remain committed to providing social assistance through grants to the poor and vulnerable South Africans. This program is at the heart of government's poverty alleviation program and central to restoring the dignity of our people. Through it, we continue to improve the living conditions of the poor, vulnerable, and underprivileged. These include the elderly South Africans, people living with disability, as well as orphaned and vulnerable children, including those living in child-headed households. Our government provides, as we know, social assistance to over 17 million beneficiaries through these social grants. The child support grant has grown from 70,000 in 1998 to almost 12 million social grants in 2016. The IMC remains committed to continue with this work until the conclusion of the plan. I would like, on behalf of the IMC, to thank the honorable members of the joint sitting of SCOPA and Portfolio Committee on Social Development for their work in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Minister. Well, what I'm certain of is that we are not where we were the last time we were here. I do see that on page 6 you have outlined the areas covered by the protocol signed between SASA and SAPO in terms of areas of responsibilities given to the post office, and that you have worked everything to fall within the time lines that have been set, and actually to align your processes to those of the Constitutional Court. Well, thank you very much, but I'll leave it in the hands of my capable comrades for any clarity that they may seek. What I'll do, I'll start with you, Tim, but let's say you have two questions. So for you, so for everybody, I was merely starting with you, just to establish a principle. So it's yourself, it's Mente, it's Ross. Comrade Abrams, Malchas, Lengwa. And then we're done for the day. Okay, yes.
Thank you, Jay, and then we can go and join the debate in the House. Jay, I just have a question and a comment. So the question is directed to Minister Khadebe. First of all, thank you very much for this for your report today. It's a next step on the rung of giving assurance to the grant recipients, and I thank you for your leadership and the leadership of the IMC in that regard. The question I have for you, and then the comment, is on page 6, if I can draw your attention to page 6, you refer to what has been allocated to SAPA, allow SAPA to provide SASA. But you have qualifications in that next paragraph where the points are. There are 4 points. And they are, on the third one, card body production and distribution subject to price competitiveness. So there's a qualification there. And what I'm concerned about is there's obviously a, and also in the opening line says, this protocol allows SAPA to provide SASA by April 1, 2018, subject to cost effectiveness, another qualification. What is the plan B, and this is just a question I'd like to get clarity on, what is the plan B if it turns out that SAPA are not cost effective? Because you placed a qualification there, what is the plan B of the IMC to to come up with it? And then, Chair, I just want to conclude, and I won't speak again today, a comment. The comment comes on the basis of yesterday the panel, the constitutionally appointed panel, filed their second report with the Concord. And I have that that report, so it is public record because it was filed yesterday. The panel on page 23 of their report, under section 5.5 and 5.6, make the following comments. They ask that they recommend that National Treasury must investigate the conduct of SASA employees and of officials at the Department of Social Development in relation to all actions undertaken since 2016 to issue contracts to service providers or get to give effect to the court order, in order to determine whether any person should be prosecuted in terms of Section 81, 83 or Section 86 of the Public Finance Management Act. So that panel, which the IMC is working with, has made a direct recommendation to the court that SASA officials be investigated for criminal conduct. And I want to, I would like SCOPA to follow through on that and make sure that we hold SASA to account and also Treasury to account, that they take care of that. Now, Section 5.6, I'm almost finished, Chair, says that, recommends that the IMC get involved in instructing the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation to investigate and set out the remedial actions necessary to ensure that there is an end to SASA being an entity without proper institutional governance, capacity and oversight by way of appointing a technical and administrative skills management and a board of qualified expertise. And I would just like to ask that SCOPA, although we've achieved a victory here today, Chair, or we are confident, we are more hopeful today, that SCOPA will not forget the accountability mandate to make sure that those two recommendations of the panel to the court, if they are confirmed by the court, because this panel is advising the court, that we follow through on those. Because there are lots of people that need to be held accountable for where we are today. And we cannot, sorry, Chair, we cannot in the glow of this happy announcement that there is progress forget that certain people, some of whom are present in this room, brought us to where we are. And that must be investigated. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think, Comrade Minister, my take will be what he has read, maybe let's not talk to it, because it is the report of the panel to the Constitutional Court, not to us. If we want to hold SAS accountable for anything, let's talk to it. But I hear you. I'm just saying that I wouldn't want him to come back and say, in relation to that recommendation, this is what I say.
Chair, just to clarify, I'm not expecting a response on that. I was making a point. My question was simply to the qualification of the competitive pricing of SAPA's offer. That was all what the plan B is.
Okay, sure. Commitment?
Thanks, Chair. And yes, Chair, Ubana ngaba kuthen uyivikela kangaki IMC. I'm sure Minister Khadebe can answer certain things, so you must allow him to say, because at the end of the day, all the documents that we are in possession of, we are allowed to question them. If we think that the IMC is the proper body to give us proper answers, please allow us to do that. Okay, thank you. Chair, I'm also on the page 6 and the qualification. And I want to believe that ePost Office has issued the RFP to USASA, and in the RFP they detailed all the requirements. I'm not sure of the costing. So if they still have to do that to SASA, I don't know if the IMC has gone through the very same RFP and satisfied yourself that it's cost-effective or it's not cost-effective. That's number one. And then number two, with all the four services that are given to SABO, I would like to get a view of the post office if, like Comrade Tim is asking, what is the plan B? If we can get a response from SAPO pertaining their readiness in terms of the four areas of services. I'm begging with you that you allow SAPO to also ventilate on that and give us assurance at least they are here. They can answer for themselves that on the four areas we are able, on the four areas we are not able. Then the last question, Chair, is on the hybrid. I would like to find out from the IMC on the hybrid, is it the hybrid as it is the status quo where people are able now to withdraw money from any ATM, or is it a hybrid where all the banks are going to issue cards to beneficiaries and they are going to be their clientele? And if that's the case, did you consider the issue of deduction? Because us as members of parliament here, I'm sure all of us, we are victims of deductions, illegal deductions that we don't know from the banks. It will be much worse for the people outside if ever we allow them to go through different banks and be clientels, not of one card where they can be able to do what they are doing currently. Thank you very much.
All right, Ross.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me take this opportunity to thank the Minister for decisive leadership and for the Interministerial Committee's intervention, which was much needed in aligning us towards the Constitutional Court's requirements. I think that was much needed, and thank you, Minister. My two questions will hinge on timeframes, and the second one will be on the overarching agreement. Now, in terms of the timeframes, Minister, can you assure the country today that we will meet the timeframes? Certainly certain agreements have been signed in terms of an overarching agreement, but what has not been signed? Is there anything that should have been signed, or will we sign it on the 6th and the 8th of December? Did we kick the can towards the 8th of December? Is there something that you would have like to be seen signed today that is not being signed? And I'm saying this against the background, Chairperson, of the defining roles and the definite roles of the role players, which is still very vague as we speak. What is the roles of SAPO in this regard? Because it is quite clear that you said it is public, it's public sector led, but as I see it, I think the private sector is playing a critical role. Do you acknowledge the critical role of the private sector in this, in terms of the banking sector and financial sector's involvement in ensuring the timeous payment to beneficiaries? I thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Comrade Chairperson, Honourable Minister. I'd also like to align and thank you for the presentation and for your excellent leadership with the IMC. Thank you very much. You've mentioned that you've co-signed with SASA and SAPO. My question to you is there any legal implications by you doing so? And I'm also very happy to hear that the Chief of the Legal is with you guys all the way so that you follow the constitutional rules. Then also, do you have any contingency plans just in case? And I'd again like to thank you, and I'm sure South Africa listening, watching, is very confident that 1st of April everybody will receive their grants. And I'm also happy that the card system, because our people are fearing out there that maybe their cards will expire, and I'm happy to hear that that is not so. Thank you.
All right. Comrade Minister of Health and Social Development, welcome.
Oh, sorry.
Welcome.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I have been covered a bit by Honourable Abrams, but when it comes to the card, you say it will be beyond the 31st of December. And people are speaking about timelines. What timeline, more or less, that you put into place. And then I'd like to ask a sticky question. I've got to thank you, people, but I thank afterwards. Just a sticky question. CPS was declared illegal. There's always innuendos in the air that CPS will still be there. And I think just tell us, because my ministers asked many times that question in Parliament, will CPS be there come 1st of April? And then I would like to thank the minister, Honourable Jeff Khadebe, and the other ministers for doing excellent, including my minister, for doing excellent work on the IMC. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Chair. I think at the outset, one must thank the IMC if with very least Chairperson taking this work seriously. And I say this against the background that I speak of the IMC under its new leadership. Because I think it's we must confront the reality that the IMC and the President aided and abetted this problem. Because the IMC at that point in time, as far as I see it, was not functional. Had it been, all of this work would have been done. It was a crisis that was engineered, and I think the IMC has gone today a long way in allaying anxieties, but of course the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So to Minister Atebe, I remain a doubting Thomas. Although I've put a finger in there, I now await for the resurrection, which will be the 1st of April. But I think, Chair, we must, as SCOPA and the PC on Social Development, take credit for having pushed this thing until something was done. And I think it bodes well for accountability and oversight in terms of the execution of our own duties. Chairperson, I would really want to be clarified, because one of the sticky areas has been the capabilities of the post office. That's been the sticky question. There was a contentious issue around the CSIR report, whether those capabilities which were sanctioned there, which the post office has, and we had the variation of views from SAS and so on. So insofar as page 6 is concerned, Chair, where it says the protocol allows SAPO to provide SASA by 1 April, subject to cost effectiveness, the following. Now, in the event that it's not cost effective, what's the benchmark of not being cost effective? Because as far as I've understood all along is that the use of the post office, and I understand it now, is that we are building the state's capacity and the state's capability in order to allow SASA in 5 years' time to be able to do this work without the support or intervention of external service provider. Now, the question then remains, Chair, who are the alternatives to the so-called cost effectiveness? Because if it's not the post office and it's somebody else, does it mean then we're back to square one where CPS is going to be accommodated in one way or the other? Because the bottom line is we don't want to CPS. They are corrupt. And we must not shy away from that. And it grinds against the so-called notions of radical economic transformation, shipping money out of South Africa. So I need to know, Chair Wuti, who are the alternatives? Who is in the running? So that we can then benchmark with CPS. On what basis will we say, how then, what will we base cost effectiveness of the post office and tend to who in the event that we find the post office not to be cost effective around those areas that have been tested? Finally, Chair, is the issue of testing, particularly around migration of the new system. As it stands now, from 1 December, social grants are going to be paid for the following month. And established practice is that the January grants are paid in December as well, because little payments are done in January, if any. So it means that the next payment will only be in February. So when is testing going to be done? The state of readiness, if you look at that, the next round of payments, which I doubt that any of the people here are ready for any partnership or cooperation to pay out grants money with December.
Okay.
So it means that 2 months are going to be lost. So are we in a position to ensure that all these touted service providers, all these plans, will be readily rolled out February and March in preparation for the 1st of April, which is when the migration must take place? So I think we need a succinct timeline and appreciation of the timelines with Concord have been aligned and so on and synchronized. That's fine. That's fair enough. But now we need to walk the talk, the surety that has been given in practical terms. So, Chair, I want to emphasize... want to emphasize around the areas that Honorable Tim has raised in terms of investigations. It is still my firm belief that you had people within SASSA and the Department of Social Development in cahoots with certain elements in CPS who deliberately engineered this chaos. And I think, Chairperson, we still need to venture down that avenue of investigations, and for us to also understand what, before the change of guard in terms of the chairpersonship of the IMC, what was the IMC doing? Because I see the stagnation around that as a total collapse on the part of the IMC, only one which was resurrected by the heavy hand of intervention from Parliament, which then compelled something to be done. Had that not been done, I still ask myself, what was the IMC and the President doing?
Okay.
It's the biggest indictment, actually.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
All right. Comrade Tikan.
No, thanks, Chair.
And then maybe after Comrade Kekane, could allow the comrades this side to respond, and then if there are further interventions, we'll allow comrades to do so. Yes, Comrade.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation from the IMC and indicate up front that at least one is confident that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Because our biggest concern as two committees was the compliance with the Constitutional Court. And I think that area has been covered. And what is important is this joint committee agreed that the IMC will be responsible, that is, to deal with this issue up until that we are confident. Now, I just want to deal with one issue where my colleagues are saying, let's get SAPO's view that is on this issue. I don't think it is in line with our recommendation or our decision. Our decision is the IMC would be central in this issue. The IMC would meet with both, that is department, and the IMC would then give us a consolidated view. Now, if we are saying SAPO should give us their position or SASSA should give us their position, we would be back to square one where we were, because we invited IMC to assist in the impasse that we had. And we are saying now the IMC has taken control over this issue, and the IMC would be the one responsible, that is, to give us information. In the background, the IMC would meet with SASSA and SAPO, and all what we want a collective view from both those departments until this issue is finalized. But then the issue that I want clarity on, that is from the IMC, is the issue on the communication strategy. We are fully aware that we are approaching Christmas, and we are dealing with vulnerable people. My question is, when are we going to implement this strategy so that our people, at least when they go for Christmas, they know exactly as to what is going to happen? It is nice for us to sit in Parliament here in our boardrooms and claim to have developed that is a strategy, But if that strategy is not communicated to the beneficiaries themselves, it's going to be a problem. Now, hence my question is, when are we communicating, that is, to the beneficiaries and the country in terms of this communication plan? Thank you.
Let's allow the minister to respond, and when it's done, I'll come back, and then we'll have a second round of interventions. Yes, Comrade Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks to the joint sitting for the kind words you indicated of the progress we are trying to make. It's appreciated. The main issue that the colleagues are raising is this issue of a contingency plan or plan B. Our posture as the IMC is that we have one plan, and that plan is to implement the court order and the directives of the Constitutional Court. That is our plan. So we don't have plan B in a loose way that another plan. It's one plan. And in that plan, as we're going to see later when we report by the 8th of December, it also includes all the risk mitigation measures and all contingencies to highlight the difficulties in executing the court order. So what I'm trying to say to colleagues is that our implementation plan will include everything that has to happen for a new service provider or providers to be in place by the 1st of April 2018. It will be in that plan. On the issue that was also raised about the hybrid model is precisely what it means, that we are going to be utilizing all available models, public as well as the private sector. That is why we explained that the technical team met with the financial institutions on the 10th of November to go through the issues that may enhance the deliverables of this constitutional court order by the 1st of April. So all those matters, as we speak, are being deliberated upon. On the issue of the panel of experts report, the report is there. We are studying it at the moment, and we're going to respond appropriately as the IMC. As I've indicated, that as the IMC, we felt that it was important to meet with the panel of experts so that we are singing from the same hymn book, because all of us are doing the same thing to implement the Constitutional Court order. That is why even our own time frames are coinciding with the time frames and deadlines that the Chief Justice has outlined, especially the directives of the 7th of November. So that's what is going to be happening. On the issue of defining roles and responsibilities, I've indicated that we've signed this implementation protocol between SAPO and SAPO, which has been underwritten by myself on behalf of the IMC, to make sure that this overarching plan, which is actually a foundation for the collaborative agreement that will be signed between the two entities, we stick to the timeline and the deadlines that have been set. So that is our approach. On the issue of deductions, we are very alive of this issue, especially the decision of the Constitutional Court that deduction should not be allowed except those that are authorized by the Minister of Social Development. We're also aware and also are seeking legal advice on the judgment that was recently taken by the Gauteng High Court that sought to allow some deductions. So we are finalizing that opinion, whether we appeal to the Supreme Court of Appeal or direct to the Constitutional Court. But the whole issue of the issue of the contract of CPS also, we are going to be dealing with it, but our primary concern right now in this phase was to make sure that we are compliant with the critical timelines that have been set so that by the 1st of April 2018, our people get these timelines. The legal implications of the IMC, we are advised by the Chief State Law Advisor that it is constitutionally and legally compliant. There's nothing wrong in IMC being an appendage to the signature of this, because in any event, we've got the authority of Cabinet to execute the decision of the Constitutional Court. On the issue of the capabilities of the post office, we have a deadline of the 24th of November, which is this Friday, where we're going to have a document and discussions from the post office where we know and finalize what is it precisely that they will be able and capable of doing. It is on that basis that that collaborative agreement between SAPO and SASA will be signed. And also to the principles of cost effectiveness, underline this, because as public servants, we cannot just disperse goods and services without taking that into account. So all this will be dependent on the cost-benefit analysis, private sector and all those private sector people. But at the end, also to the choice of people in this matter also be taken into consideration. On the issue of migration, it is part of the implementation plan. It will become evident by the 8th of December what the timelines are and what the migration things. I have this here, but I'm not at this moment at liberty to indicate that, because we are following due process in finalizing all these matters. On the issue of communication strategy, we have a communications strategy. GCIS has developed it. We have approved it as the IMC on Friday, the 17th of November. Colleagues will recall that when we last year on the 8th of November, the chair said, you must report to us and not via the media. That is why we are here to tell you. But from today onwards, GCIS will be on the roll through community radio station, TV, and so on, directly to the beneficiaries to tell them precisely what is going to happen. The doubting Thomas, I would like to plead to your Christian conscience that seeing is believing.
Why not call him the doubting Sengwa? He's Sengwa.
What you see is what you get, Comrade Sengwa. We are trying our best to ensure that we deliver on this. On the issue of CPS, our understanding, as we also emphasized at the last time, that we're in this because the Constitutional Court declared that contract to be illegal. So that's why CPS is not in our radar scheme as a radar screen as an alternative, because Concord said that there must be an entity other than CPS. So that's our approach. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Comrade Boy. Comrade, and then we're done.
Thank you.
You know, Comrade, my approach is whatever the post office can say to us now, it's meaningless if it is not what they will say on Friday when they submit to you. Because the decision will be taken on the basis of what they will submit on Friday. Just a minute, Comrade. Yeah.
That means we are engaging in a fruitless and wasteful exercise. Why did we bring SASA and post office here? Why did they book tickets, sleep here, and come to the meeting when they are not going to say anything? We should be only attending to the IMC. The rest of the delegation was not supposed to be here. If they are here to just look at us.
All right.
No. I'm giving you the platform to say what you wanted to say. I've heard you, Comrade.
Yeah, no. She's our colleague. We feared her. But I wanted to say, Chairperson, where we sit as a collective, both of SCOPA and the Portfolio Committee, we should also praise and thank ourselves for being able to keep to what Parliament is about, of how we hold the executive to account. That one, I don't think all of us, thanking the IMC and for the leadership that has been provided, we'll walk away from it. We'll keep our eyes on what the IMC have promised us. So it means that even if we come back next year, we'll still be looking at the IMC and its performance and the work that is being done. But as the whole collective is saying, Honorable Minister, we're very thankful at this particular moment for the nature of detail you've been able to provide us. We will be able to take it to our different constituencies, offices, and be able to explain now to the old ladies and our parents what has happened and how far the process has gone. But we must be very thankful at this moment for the umhlahlandlela, sisho njalo ngesiXhosa, direction giving. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 9, the last line of the third paragraph, whereby we say government encourages beneficiaries to call SASA call center for assistance and inquiries. And the members here will say CPS is corrupt. By the way, not only CPS, but SASA officials could be corrupt as well. And in light of that, one who wants to understand what kind of a call center we're talking about. Some of these things, they look small, but they have a very huge negative impact. Because call centers, in their nature, you call, someone says, if you want, your problem is B, press 1. Your problem is C, press 2. The next thing, it is music. You listen to the music for a long time sometimes. After the music, someone comes to you again and say, thank you for your patience. Your query is being attended to. And we're talking here about old people who may not even be able to, you know, operate this, you know, call center, whatever facility is there. So one would like to understand the kind of call centers we're talking to. Is it the one that you make a call and immediately you talk to a person who listens to your query, or that answering machine, which will be frustrating, you end up dropping the call and not continuing with your problem?
Okay. All right. Mamsonti, did I see your hand up?
Yes, Father.
Yeah.
Ngiyabulisa indlu yonke iphela uminister uJeff Radebe neqembu lakhe. Akukho into engakanani enizayithetha minister. Sizothi nje siyabonga ungenelelo lwenu kulo mba. Ethembeni lokokubana ngokungenelela kwenu okanye izinto zizawulunga. Siyeva ke niyathembisa kakhulu, akwabe nyhani kuzoba njalo ngoba eneneni bona abantu bayalufuna usizo, bajonge kuthi sonke ilizwe lonke liphela. Akwabe nyhani ke i-first ezo zika-April 2018 zawube zirayithi, abantu bafumane amalungelo wabo. Okokugqibela futhi nibonge nendaba yama-deductions la nithetha ngawo ukubana angeke abe aphinda futhi, because abantu bayabetheka kakhulu bakelwa izimali zabo bengazubana zithetha le ntoni kanjani, bangakwazi futhi nokuziclaima back. So kungaba ngcono ke okokuba ngabanyani lezo cancellations zingaba ziyaheliswa kubantu abadala. Akho nto ingakanani ke, siyabonga kakhulu. Inkosi.
Inkosi, Comrade. Rob, Monson, can you switch off
the
mic? Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
And thank you for the Minister in very detailed response. Minister, if I can just delve a little bit deeper, perhaps, in terms of your response, in terms of the implementation plan that was, implementation protocol plan that was signed by SASSA and the Post Office, and what you expect on the 8th to be signed or to be finalized. Are you happy with the signing of the documents, or what else is there needed to be signed? I just try to concretize the matter, perhaps, because you've clearly indicated that the capabilities of SAPO still needs to be evaluated by the IMC. After evaluation, would there then be a more formal signage of documents, or is it not needed?
Okay, Smolenyan. Right. Now, thanks, Chair. Chair, I want to deal with the issue that is the process going forward. That is as to how are we going to get a report or information from IMC as joint committees, because I think that is important. Or we are saying today is the last meeting, the IMC would run with this thing, would also get reports from the media, or we are going to have a formal session where they are going to give, update us, as committees. And if that is the case, how regular is that going to happen?
All right. Lengwa, I suppose you are saying small anyan.
It's the big anyan, I want, Chair. No, Chair, I just want to build up on what the Honourable Minister has said. So at this point in time, is it safe to assume, Chair, that this process may, amongst other things, include tender, and that being the case, I'm still, Chair, I ask this because I'm worried about time. Who's who in the zoo in terms of that? With the consideration, of course, I agree with the Minister, yes, it's fine, cost effectiveness needs to be a major consideration. And I ask, should we find that the post office is not cost-effective? Let me make the outrageous conclusion. And we find that wholly the post office process is not cost-effective A to Z, not elements of it. This tendering process, which one is in keeping with the PFM and so on, which is good, is state of readiness say to, does it mean then, Chair, it hinges whatever the post office will say on Friday, and should whatever they say is adverse, then where are we in terms of the state of readiness of this outsourcing? Manje, that's why, Chair, I asked about the CSIR report. Within the considerations that were made, I'm pretty sure that the IMC must have applied their minds to that by now. Manje, send any outer date to deal with something which somehow sort of was already dealt with. I mean, we already know the reservations of Treasury about how SASSA handled the CSIR report. Deal with that corruption at a later stage. But as it stands before us now, the possibility of which the post office may not be the desire, may not do this thing, then remains on the table and that's what has been chosen. And that's where my anxiety comes in.
Okay, thank you very much. Comrade Minister, just a few points from me. Comrade Kekane, I do think that, Comrade Minister, it would assist us if the monthly reports that will be provided could also be shared with us, so that we don't rely on what goes to the media. And I would imagine, comrades, that we can agree that the earliest available time in January, we have this
kind of engagement again, because a lot of the technical stuff would have been sorted out and would have started to implement some of these, just to check in relation to what has been planned and what has been implemented and how we see the road ahead towards the 1st of April, so that as Parliament we also do not just sit and hope that things are going to go, so that we could get feedback. I do want to believe that if the communication strategy is already done, I'm sure we can get this. We should be able to get this today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow. Sure, it can be sent to our committee secretaries, so we have it. The two critical issues that are also outstanding and will be important is the timelines. By when will what be done? And by when do we start the phasing in and the phasing out process? I know our timelines are very tight. In fact, they are worse than tight. But also, I want to believe that by the 8th of December, we'll also have done the costing. Because remember last time, Tim asked, are we going to get all the costings today? And we said yes. But I'm merely accepting that it is not an easy process. Let us accept what has been achieved and use that as a basis to create momentum moving forward. My little concern, Comrade Minister, is that if you look on page 6, the areas that have been allocated to the post office, there is one element that is outstanding or that is missing in terms of the current model. That is the payment to the mobile payment. Because I hope that we don't have our heads in the clouds and think that by calling in the commercial banks, then we've solved everything. So that part, for me, that was supposed to be the first part tackled. And once that is tackled, then the rest will become very easy. Because for a person from a village in Matsavane to access a bank, you must get a taxi, pass Zanzia, pass Buisonto, pass Saselani, pass Dwarsloop, and then go to Bushbuck Ridge. That's where they get a bank. So, to what extent do we start from the most vulnerable and then work our way towards those who have options, who can decide whether they want to go to Bank A, whether they want to go to the state bank called Post Bank, or whatever else. I think it's an area that I'm hopeful that it will be. The issue of the role of the banks, as indicated by the court, I hope it was not a directive, that it is a must, that you must open the space for the banks so they can have a slice of the cake. Because I would find that very problematic if the court directed that, ensure that the banks are also involved. And you had a meeting with them, and the critical question for me, which should have been the basis of your engagement, is the type of account that will be opened. Type relates to cost. Will the cost now be transferred to the beneficiary who, when they withdraw money, they will be charged? Or will the cost be carried by SASA, in the sense that when they deposit money, there's a fixed fee paid, so that whatever the beneficiary does with his or her account, they don't suffer deductions. I thought, for me, that would be the first and critical question. If that one is not answered, then anything else becomes meaningless. So, but I see that you still meet and discuss. Well, it's fine. It's, it's a technical question. It's a matter of ordering. That's how we've decided it. But I think for me that is very critical. If we're going to have a situation where currently a person who gets paid in the rural area does not carry the cost, they get their money, it is SASSA that is to finish with the company. But if we're going to transfer the cost, I think then we'll have missed it a bit. Well, the protocol that has been signed, you indicate that is a foundation for the signing of further detailed collaborative agreement. Well, I would imagine that, I hope that means based on the submission from the post office on Friday, then you'll be able to tie down on specific details and specific areas. I see your head of department is nodding to say yes, 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 okay, then that's fine. I think from where we're sitting, comrades, it's a question of dialectic. It's a dialectical process. Would have wished for a revolutionary one fell swoop and everything is in place. But the laws of social development dictate that certain factors would render processes to fashion themselves out the way they do. So we're happy. We're happy for Parliament. We're happy for our people. Especially the officials, because I believe they are the ones who, I don't know where they still burn the midnight candle these days, to work on the details and ensure that finally we have something that we can put before our people. And for me, it is that as Parliament and the Executive, we put our heads together on issues that affect our people. We're able to finally find each other and come up with something that say to our people, we care. It is about them and not just about us. But let me allow you, Comrade Minister. I think there were issues that comrades raised that you may want to respond to.
Thanks, Chairperson. Most of the comments were positive comments, encouraging us to continue doing this work. On the issue of SASSA call centers, that can also be reinforced with the presidential hotline, which is also free. Maybe we can provide the honourable member with the free call number of the presidential hotlines, so that maybe no constituencies, you can be able to disseminate that information, because our understanding that line as well, they people respond there, no messages and so on.
No music.
No, 24/7. On the question also that was asked whether there will be further agreements, yes. As I said, the implementation protocol is an overarching agreement which is a foundation for a further collaborative agreement between SAPO and SASSA. As I've said, right now there is that process of finalizing the capabilities and the ability of SAPO on the basis of which that collaboration will be signed by the 24th of this month. On the issue of process going forward, I think this is your meeting. I think the chair has sort of indicated the way forward on that matter. On the issue of tendering, which I understand to be a public procurement process, as I've said, we've aligned our approach as the IMC to that of the panel of experts, so that there is a uniformity of approach. As we know, this process is largely led by the Constitutional Court, to issue directives from time to time. I have not yet completely read the panel of experts' last report. I suspect they might have an opinion on that. But until we get the actual directives from the Concord, we work on the basis of the last directives of the 7th of November. On the issue of of the communication strategy, I've already outlined that it is there. It can be shared with the committee. The phasing in, phasing out is contained in the detailed implementation plan that we have, what we call a project plan. It is there. On the issue of your critical issue, actually very critical, this issue of mobile payments. SASSA has done a very wonderful job of mapping this, of where are the SASSA pay points in the Republic of South Africa. And then we superimposed all the post offices in our country so that we have a better understanding of what will happen on this critical issue. It's actually a critical issue. In a detailed presentation, we outline that and the approach of solving that issue. The issue of the banks, I think, is within the context of this cost-benefit analysis within the guidelines of a hybrid model. So all these will be determined by the issue of the cost-effectiveness of all the options that are available to us, but also to ask your critical question, where the beneficiary is in Shushuwe, in Khayelitsha, etc. That will determine the various options and how we divide in terms of ensuring that there is an effective implementation of the Constitutional Court directives. So all in all, we thank you for your comments. We've taken copious notes of it that we'll take into consideration as we move forward. And also I want to join you to thank the technical team. Actually, they've done a wonderful job of making sure that there's convergence amongst government departments, that we have one plan that we're working towards, and that is the 1st of April 2018. Thanks.
All right, comrades, thanks very much. Comrade Skopa, remember tomorrow evening, last night. Yeah, thanks very much, comrades. We are done.